Let's prepare to open God's Word together. Father God, Lord, we come to watch and wait, to open our hands to receive gifts. Lord, we want to see what you are doing. Help us to understand, to know you more, to grow deeper in our love for you. And Lord, as we open your word, make the way clear. Breathe your spirit into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 29 through 40. Luke chapter 12, 29 through 40. This is part of immediately following or continuing his Jesus' message on do not worry, right? And so he talks about consider the ravens and the lilies of the field, right? And how much more valuable are you than birds? Well, he continues in 29. Jesus said, do not set your heart on what you will eat and drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The word of the Lord. People of God, in our text, Luke uses an interesting Greek word as he tells us not to worry. The word is called meteorizeste, right? But this is where our word meteor comes from. The root of the word means to lift up or exalt something, right? So to say a meteor, this is something in the sky, this is something exalted, an exalted something floating across, right? That's why we call it a meteor. It's something up there that draws our attention, our focus. So when Jesus is telling us not to worry, in the Greek, the image is for us not to put something up there, to look at it as though it was something that demanded our attention, not to fret over it, to get worked up over it. Don't put it up there. Right? This is how worry works, isn't it? When we worry about something, we raise it up to a central point of concern and we focus on it. I know that sometimes I will worry. Heather and the kids might be out shopping or they're at viola practice. They're in the car somewhere on the road. Maybe the roads are a little icy. And then it will hit me. They should have been home 10 minutes ago. And then it becomes 20 minutes, and then 30 minutes. And all the while, even as I'm trying to do something constructive, trying to just while I'm waiting to try and tidy up the living room, get dinner ready, this is burning in the front of my brain. What's happening with them? Are they worried? Has something gone wrong? I'm drawn constantly back to it. It's like a meteor standing out brightly while everything else fades into the background. I'm worried about it. We spend a lot of time worrying about little things. Jesus says, seek the big things. If you're going to set your heart on something, seek the things that matter. But what were the little things that people in Jesus' day worried about? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Now, what was the problem with worrying about these things? By worrying about something, you're raising it up as primary importance. So if food and dressing nice is a primary concern, you're putting it ahead of things that are far more important. But for many of the people in Jesus' audience, food and drink of clothes and clothes may have been a more urgent consideration. They didn't have fridges or freezers. Most of them were not wealthy or privileged. So it made sense that they would spend time worrying about these things that loomed large in their day-to-day life. Their night sky, these were just things that were prominent. They always, what about tomorrow? What about my food? What about, will I have enough? So Jesus comes and he tells them not to worry about these things. We even hear it in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus essentially says, ask God this. He says, give us today our bread for today. Just the stuff I need right now. Ask for that. And trust him to give it. Trust God to provide for the little things so that you can watch out for the big things. Now, what would today's list be for us? What are our little things that we worry about? Yeah, and some of us may worry about food, drink, and clothes, but the list can go on a little longer. Food, drink, clothes, basic stuff. But then we get into the just extra little things that we spend more time than we should. Toys, trinkets, technology, fashion accessories. Some of us worry about being trendy and on the edge of the next big thing. Or we worry about experiences and escapes. Hey, you know, I'm plugging away at my job because I got vacation coming up, and won't that be great? Working so that I can play. Or personal safety may be a worry. Right? We worry that, what if something happens today? So I have to protect myself. Or we are worried about having the praise of others. We want them to think well of us. And we worry about it. We obsess about it. We raise it up as something very important. Keeping up appearances so that others will think well of you, that you are capable, you are strong. Being seen that way is important to me. And we could possibly go a little deeper yet to talk about things like financial security. And we worry about property values or what the future might hold in today's economy, or even just wanting to be successful in our jobs. Well, what would you add for yourself? Is there anything that you raise up and probably spend more time on than you should? What are those things? Well, it is telling that in the same text where Jesus talks about the things we worry, he also talks about the things that we treasure. We raise these things up as important. We worry about it. We focus on them. When we do that, they do become our treasure. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. But Jesus reminds us that life is more than food and the body more than clothes. We lift up little things as our cause for concern and seek them to give us security or meaning. God knows that we need them, and so he will provide. But Jesus challenges us to long for, or even to worry for, more important things. But that leads to the problem. How do we do that? I don't know about you, but I have a hard time turning off my worry switch. It's hard to do. When something's burning in the front of your brain, it's hard to switch your attention elsewhere. As parents, of course, this is a major concern. Kids tend to get focused on things and they won't let it go. They become obsessed with it sometimes. And it depends on the kid a little bit, but how do we work with that, right? Well, and here's how a good friend of mine put it. He said, parenting is 90% distraction. That when kids get worked up about this or that, which they do lots and lots and lots, the best thing you can do is to help them get thinking about something else. So, you fell, you hurt your knee, you comfort them, you console them, they cry for a little while. And then you have to try and get them doing something else, because otherwise they stay focused on the hurt, right? They can't walk anymore. They'll drag their legs the whole way through, right? You have to help them shift their attention somewhere else. Well, Jesus actually points in that direction as well. He says, do not worry, but seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you're focused on something, if you're worried about something, try and step back and see these things in their larger place. Let them fade into the background. Trust God with the small things, because there are much larger things that deserve your attention and your worry. Now let's focus on Jesus' words, because there is a second main verb in this text that has a complementary idea with what Jesus says, do not worry, but seek. Okay? Do not worry about these things, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And that second Greek word is zoutete, and it is to seek. Okay? Now, what kind of imagery is tied up in that, right? How do we think about it? Is it seek as in just go look for this? Look, and keep looking. Okay? Is that what it is? You know, and so we sometimes think seek the kingdom of God as though this is another task that I have to do. I gotta work for this, I gotta go for this, I gotta push for this. But that's not really what's in the text. When we look at the verb, Jesus actually uses it one chapter later, in chapter 13, verse 6. And there he uses a part of a story where the owner of a vineyard goes to seek fruit on this tree. But he goes there several times over the course of 3 years. And so he's kind of waiting and watching, expecting something to happen. And when it doesn't happen, he gets frustrated. And the guy who's managing the vineyard says, listen, let's just give it one more year. I'll fertilize it. I'll put, you know, just wait a little longer, right? But it has that waiting, watching, expecting something to happen. That's what's in this word. Anticipation. When Jesus is telling us to seek the kingdom of God, he is telling us to watch and wait expectantly for what God is sending our way. Seek and you shall find. Watch, wait expectantly, and God will send his answer. This is the spirit of Advent. As we watch and wait with expectation for God to come into our world and do something extraordinary. Now in our text, Jesus points ahead to what God was coming to do in the future. He said the master would return, and if his servants were up with their lamps lit, watching and waiting for him, they would be rewarded. Even though he might come at the second or third watch of the night, super late, way past the bedtime of most of us. Like, even though some of us might have got to bed a little bit late after our potpourri party last night, I know I did, and I was one of the first to go. but to wait for God, and it may be a long time, it may be well past what we're thinking, but to say, can you wait and watch with me? Keep your lamps lit. And when the master returns, he will come into the house, and the imagery is there of him coming and serving his servants at the table. We will sit at the table. If we stay up and wait for the master, he will reward us by serving us Just as Jesus, when he did the Lord's Supper, he went around and he washed their feet, right? That's the kind of master that we serve, one who comes to serve us and show us this humble grace, a reward for watching and waiting. Well, there's a big picture, I think, a picture to help bring these things together for us. And it comes from the idea of the meteor, all right? We sometimes will go out, we know there's a big meteor shower. Say there's a big meteor shower, we all go out, we go find a field where there's very little light, and we lay there and we watch. But as you know with meteor showers, say we know that there is a big one coming. There is a huge meteor that's going to streak across the sky. Okay? We know that there's a big one coming. But when a big one's coming, there's usually a bunch of small ones that run in front of it. Okay? So maybe we're lying in the field and we're looking up at night and we start to see little ones flit across the sky. And if when we see the little ones, we say, oh, there it is. Oh wow, I saw it. I can go home now. Right? Then we're gonna miss everything else. Right? We're worrying about something small when something big is coming, and the big thing is what we're waiting. We're watching for what is coming, what God is coming to do in your life and mine. And so Jesus tells us, let the small ones go. There's something much bigger coming. Watch for it. Wait for it. Seek the big things. Let God worry about the little ones. Seek the kingdom. Shalom. As we talked about our first week, right? It's not about what's on our Christmas list. This is about God's dreams for all of creation and for us. Can we wait and seek and hope for and watch for what God wants for us to see His dreams in my life accomplished? Well, what does the kingdom look like? What are we waiting for? When we're watching and waiting, what are we looking for? What does the kingdom look like today? Because God is at work today. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. The Spirit was breathed out on the church a few years later, right? God is at work. The kingdom is here today. What does it look like? The kingdom is here when God comes into your world, into my world. When God enters into our relationships, teaching us love and forgiveness, bringing peace and healing where we are broken. When God comes in to our relationships, He begins to do this work. That is the kingdom of God. When God is here with us in our worship, when He is present with us, when He serves us at His table, when He hears our prayers, when God walks with us through struggle, this is the kingdom of God. This is what we are watching for and waiting for. And when God comes into our world to raise us to new life, to change us, to challenge what shouldn't be there, to clean it out, and to fill us with something new and beautiful, this is the kingdom of God. This is God coming into my life and your life. But then we also seek the kingdom that is coming for tomorrow. And we have more imagery that Scripture teaches us of God's final redemption and renewal when God wins, when the Master comes, when the banquet table is open and God welcomes and serves His people, people drawn in from all different walks of life. This is the kingdom tomorrow. We are told the kingdom tomorrow will be when God gets creative again. When this world comes to an end and God begins new with a new heavens and a new earth. Where Jesus goes ahead of us to prepare a place in His Father's house with many rooms. A place where there's no more sin or sorrow, death or sickness, tears or pain. The kingdom of God is today and the kingdom of God is tomorrow. And we are watching and we are waiting for what God is doing, and will do. In our text for today, we reflected on Jesus' words to us. Do not worry. Seek the kingdom. Wait expectantly for the Master. In our waiting and our worrying, we are learning, I think, how to watch the night sky. Not fretting over all the little things or focusing on small things as though they were so important. Instead, Jesus teaches us to trust the little things to the God who loves us, so that we can watch for and worry over and treasure the big things that God is sending our way, the big things that God is doing in the world. We can treasure the fact that we have a God who has come to this place, who is healing hurts, changing hearts, loving and sustaining his people as he makes us into a new creation. In this season of Advent, we join God's people all over the world in watching and waiting and anticipating the arrival of God's answer. And as we stand in the darkness looking up at the night sky, we watch for the big one, the star that will announce the coming of our God. And we will follow that star to a small manger in Bethlehem to receive again God's answer to the brokenness and to the pain in our world. We wait with hope and with certainty. We know that the Master is coming. We wait for you, Jesus, God's answer to our worry. Amen.